You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Here we go.
Yee-haw!
Well, that almost didn't hurt.
That wasn't too bad, Steve.
No, not bad. Good morning, and welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. We are filling in for Al Gelman, who... You know, when you're in the garage business for like 40 years and he's slightly tilting 60.
And he's a hardworking fella.
Yeah, well, he says that. So I guess he was moving some tires and putting some stuff in and click, it's Voltairean time. So Al, get better. Everybody's phoning in saying, where is he? And maybe we can do a virtual yeehaw from here on in.
Well, I think you satisfied the yeehaw requirement here.
Wow. It's just, maybe the yeehaw could repair some of the potholes coming into Toronto.
That's the thing.
Wow. That's, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and it's like they've never, ever seen it this bad. It's not just on the roads in Toronto and out in the GTA. It's the highways, too.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
And I see the crews of three guys with a shovel. That's going to do it. That's going to really do it. Well, listen, we've got a great show lined up for you today. Sumit Kapoor, good morning. There he is.
Morning. There morning, everybody. How are you?
And we're great. Sumit is in from Young Steels Ford. And we're going to talk about not just Young Steels Ford, but especially what is going on in the automotive industry, particularly with Ford. And if you're one of thousands that are waiting on F-150s, what are the ones you were talking about in the green room?
The F-150s and the SUVs.
Unbelievable. And what's going on to keep everybody happy is what's going on.
I think we're going to have an enlightening show today.
It's crazy what's going on there with demand on everything. Also, we're going to have OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt going to be calling in, and he's going to be talking about this article that we saw in the media this week about the increase in speeding. Was it deaths on the highways?
That's exactly it. And the OPP released their figures for 2021.
Ugly.
And it's a bit of a mess all over the place. So I think Kerry's going to have some insight for us. But it was an interesting story. And unfortunately, many people are still dying on Ontario roads.
Yeah, and it's, you see it every day. I mean, we were down south for a month, and it's a different world down there. Again, in a lot of different areas. And they're driving better because it's like it's warmer and people a little more relaxed. You come back here, I had not seen a bird literally for a month.
Right.
And I'm driving around somewhere in GTO and, oh, that's a different kind of bird. And like, you're flipping everywhere. So you got to be and notice people are right up your, you know what? Right behind you, and they just can't get there fast enough.
You know what? It's true. I wrote a column about this a few months ago in my my Haggerty column, and because I spend such a good amount of time between Toronto and Los Angeles, I actually prefer rush hour in Los Angeles.
Well, they don't move.
Well, you know, there's the car culture there. My argument is the car culture is a little bit more mature than Toronto's car culture. And
do we have one here?
Well, no, it's still coming together, and that's sort of my argument. But what happens in Los Angeles is everybody knows they're going to get there. There's none of this cutting each other off and jumping from lane to lane. That doesn't happen in Los Angeles or in Orange County. It's very different than driving anywhere in the GTA.
I guess the patient levels are high.
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, there's lots of bird flipping and gunshots from time to time. But to me, it's a more relaxing experience than being in rush hour in the GTA.
I mean, some of the areas, no matter where you drive and coming in, you know, you're coming in the 401 from, say, Oshawa, or you're coming in from Mississauga. It's like, where are all these cars coming from? And the I wouldn't want to be. I'm fortunate enough to work from home.
Yes.
At times, but I know Al says when they come into Glen Allen Motors, the people are like, can I have like a coffee before we get going here? So it's wild. We're also going to get into the worst roads in Ontario campaign with CAA, and that's going to be coming up in the second half of the show. So we encourage your calls. If you get a chance, give us a call in about anything to do with your car, whether it's EVs, the worst roads in Ontario, and especially if you're looking at a Ford and you're wondering what is going on. There's some interesting new developments coming up from Ford, and we'll get back to that later on in the hour. So stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll tell you about a new contest soon, which is going to be coming up.
That is very exciting, actually. Yes.
But we'll let them wait. Have a coffee, pull up a chair, and we'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and you can catch us streaming, not swimming. It's too cold out there, at davescornergarage.com, and also follow us on facebook.com/Dave's Corner Garage. Well, big news again, and we don't want to, you know, stuff this down your throat anymore, but I mean, the EV market is exploding, and there have been some new developments as far as batteries for EVs, so I will hand it over to the charging man.
You know, Steve, I love driving, especially right now, I love driving plug-in hybrids because they make a lot more sense, as we will get into. But what's happening right now in the automotive world is it's a very exciting time because there's so much rapid change going on. So
sure.
The biggest news in the province this week in terms of the automotive industry is that Stellantis and LG have partnered in a $5 billion battery manufacturing plant in Windsor.
That's a lot of jobs.
It is a lot of jobs. I think they're saying about 2,500 jobs.
Wow, good.
And, you know, that is significant. And yes, you know, we do need EV battery production because that seems to be the way things are going. And, you know, the lovely internal,
whether we like it or not.
Whether we like it or not, the internal combustion engine is going to disappear. And it's going to take a long time for that, of course. But it's not going to happen overnight. And still, you know, battery electric vehicle sales are still single-digit percentage in terms of the total market here in Canada. It's changing, but it's not changing rapidly. It's not like we've gone to 20% or anything like that. So this is an interesting first step in terms of having our own domestic battery production. That'll obviously be for Stellantis, Chrysler, Dodge, whatever they're going to do in terms of their BEV production in Canada. But that still doesn't solve the problem that I experience all the time with respect to charging these things. Last week, I think I was driving the Lexus NX450H. It's a plug-in hybrid. It's got an 18 kilowatt hour battery, so you can plug it in and drive on electric. It has a 60 kilometer range. And that was fun. But then, you know, the way I drive and where I drive, I run it at 60 kilometers of range in no time at all. It doesn't take long.
Yes, we've seen you drive. Yes.
lots of YouTube videos about that. But what the problem is that the charging infrastructure isn't there. So the province made an announcement this week where they're making some investments, and what they're doing is they're putting in some charging stations at all of the on routes along the 400 series highways in Ontario, which does make a lot of sense. And especially if you've got a pure electric, you need a fast charger. If, you know, for example, if you go to places like Niagara, like I do, or Prince Edward County, you need a quick charger.
Also could probably need some newer en route stores as well. There aren't a lot around.
No, there's not. But I mean, at least it gives, you know, Tesla has a great charging infrastructure. Still not a fan of the cars, but they've got a great charging infrastructure. And they kind of live in their own world, and that makes a lot of sense. But for everyone else, the problem is that you've got to charge your battery electric vehicle. And even with this investment in putting charging stations into en routes, it's not quite there. So, Sumit, you guys are selling battery electric vehicles, plug-in hybrids, Ford and Lincolns. And I want to know what customers are doing right now to solve their charging problems.
So Ford has, the first solution is you get a 220-volt charger installed in your house, or your condo building has a retrofit for it. So Ford is selling their own supercharger, which can be mounted on a wall. You can buy it from a dealership and have a certified electrician install it for you at your house. That's one. And second, coming back to the OnStar thing, which you mentioned, whenever we go by, en route, so we see the parking lots are already full. So I don't know how many chargers are you going to put? People will still be waiting in line.
This is the thing. I mean, it's great if you've got a charger at home. If you've got a 220, like a level 2 charger in your home, you can fully charge your car overnight or you know, stay on top of it at least. And maybe if you're lucky, you've got a charger at work, but probably not.
Probably not, yes.
And then if you go for a road trip, what do you do?
You have to rely on the public infrastructure then.
Which is still lacking. You know, I've got the apps on my phone and I look for these fast chargers everywhere I go because I don't want to sit around and wait around for a charge. And fast chargers are still few and far between for anything but a Tesla.
All the companies like Flow, Electrify Canada, all these companies are talking about dash charging, which is the first 30 or 45 minutes will give you at least 70% of the battery and you can get wherever you want to and then charge your car again. But I still feel it's not enough. They need a very, very big kind of a charging network in order to satisfy the population in our province.
Mm-hmm. And is the demand... I know we talk about it quite a bit, but is the demand really there? Because the perception is, if you're watching TV or listening to radio, all you're hearing is EVs. Not everybody wants it. People are actually getting a little bit sick of hearing it, because at the end of the day, if you're building, like we live in a condo, and they have nothing to plug in right now.
Right.
So what do you do? I mean, you share it, and you've got to book ahead. It gets costly. So I think we're going to ease into it. That may be the best thing, is to ease into when the charging stations are available. You know, and Ford's doing a lot for that.
And a lot of this movement is fueled by what's happening in the other part of the world. The gas prices are going up. That's why a lot of people are scared and they're looking into the EV option. But what they don't realize is the charging network. You can get into an EV easily, but it's not that easy to keep it charged up all the time.
It's amazing what's going on.
It's an exciting time to be in the car world, isn't it?
It's changing every single week.
Every single week.
Now, we'll talk more about that, what's happening specifically with Ford, in a few minutes' time. Coming up next, we're going to reach out to OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt about some staggering news, what's going on our highway. So stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage. The lines are open if you want to make a call in. And we'll be right back with Sumit Kapoor from Young Steels Ford Lincoln here in the Big Smoke. Stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we've got a contest coming up at the beginning of April. Hard to believe it's April already. And we'll tell you more about that throughout the hour, but it's a good one. So we want you to stick around. And we're going to reach out to OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt and talk about some really staggering news that was released this week. Good morning, OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. How you doing this morning?
Good. We're spiking everything, and people don't know where that's a little volleyball talk, right?
Yeah, there's a little volleyball talk. Yeah, I'm sitting here in Winnipeg right now watching the university championship, so it's going to be a pretty exciting weekend. We'll see what happens.
So your son's going to be, is your son on the team, or is he going to be waiting for next year?
Yeah, he's waiting for next year, but I'm going to show my allegiance here. We're cheering for TWU, Trinity Western, number one team here.
That's great. So. Well, listen, let's talk about this article that broke this week about the increase, kind of a downer on it Saturday, but it's staggering what's going on about the number of the 10-year high in speeding deaths in Ontario roads. What's your take on that?
You know, every time we chat, we talk about stunt drivers. These guys are going 200 kilometers an hour, 300, the crazy numbers. It's a 10-year high right now of deaths because of speeding or aggressive driving on Ontario roads. We had 315 people die last year, and of those, 81 of them were dead as a result of an aggressive or speeding driver. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You're not driving some super high, exotic supercar. It might be the family car, minivan, pickup truck, work vehicle, you know. If you're tailgating, putting the pedal down, trying to make up for lost time, and all of a sudden you have traffic in front of you that you can't avoid, the higher the speed, the more chance you have of being involved in a serious or fatal collision. And I've been to countless fatal wrecks. And when you see the trauma, it is just unbelievable. And you know, the change in speed is what makes that energy sit there. And it really is. It's tragic that we're having to knock on all these doors because of someone's recklessness on the roads.
You know, Kerry, I've been racing cars for 30 years now, and you know, I don't think that the average driver really understands what that speed differential means. And secondly, all that kinetic energy when you're doing 200 or 300 kilometers an hour, that's just it's unfathomable to me. And and this is this is really sad to hear. On the other hand, I dug through the story, and it's not all bad news. For example, the report indicated that that deaths as a result of alcohol and drugs were actually down last year.
Yeah, they are. But I'll tell you, do you know what? Right now, we have seen a resurgence in 2022 with more alcohol or drug-related driving deaths in the first 3 months of 2022. So it was good news. We are hopeful that this will not continue in the trend, but we are already we're actually 58% more deaths already this year than we were same period last year. 60 people have died already in the first, 2.5 months of 2022 on the roads. And, as opposed to, I think, 38 last year. So that is certainly a huge concern for us. And with people getting back to work, going back to the office, schools are opening up, and people are going to be out there. And springtime, we got motorcycles on the road. Big show going on this weekend in Toronto.
Yeah.
And bicyclists and pedestrians as well.
You know, Kerry, because a lot of people have been, working from home, they haven't been driving as much. I know we haven't been driving anywhere near as much. So your skills are reducing. Brian's giving me a look here. He knows how I drive most of the time. Do you think, and we'll turn his microphone off, he's got a comment. Do you think that because people haven't been driving as much in the last 2 years, that's leading to this?
I don't know. You know what? They're driving a little bit, and now with the traffic congestion that we maybe haven't seen in the last 2 years is returning. And now we're going to get into road rage and frustration and aggressive driving because people that normally could make it across the city in half an hour are now taking 45 or an hour. And, that's when people start taking chances and they stop thinking about what's important. You're all cocooned, all nice and snug in your vehicle, thinking all the safety systems are going to work. But when you're up against an 80,000-pound transport truck coming the opposite direction, physics doesn't play favorites. And, the trauma that we see in these wrecks is just devastating. So, I just want to remind everyone how important it is to think about your own personal safety and, having that space around you and use your mirrors and know what traffic is doing beside you and behind you. And obviously look way down the road so you can anticipate, slowdowns, changes, and you have that distance, which gives you the time to slow down, stop, change lanes and whatever it is. But, you just got to keep your head on a swivel and keep your eyes on the road and your head in the game.
Well, listen, good luck out in Winnipeg and, because we're back in the studio, we'll get you back down here in a couple weeks' time, and we can talk a bit more about that. But good luck to your son out there, and thanks for calling in. Have a good weekend.
All right, looking forward to it.
Okay,
have
buddy.
A great day.
All right. It really is something going on, and we have some interesting things going on, especially with Ford. And Sumit Kapoor from Young Lincoln is going to be in right after this break, and then we're going to tell you about our contest that's coming up starting the beginning of April. And Sumit, you may be allowed to win.
Okay.
Brian, I don't know about you.
I don't think so.
Okay, rules and regulations.
None of us can win.
Rules and regulations to be changed on site. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back after this. Well, the weather outside is what it is. So pour a cup of coffee and stay with us. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and joining us finally back in studio after 2 years, it does seem like that, but it doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Is Sumit Kapoor from Young Steels Ford Lincoln. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Great. I mean, considering everything that's going on and, touch wood or Arbright, everything is, that was Arbright, wasn't it?
I think it is.
Everything is good. So what is going on new that at Young Steels Ford, especially with Ford right now?
So there's a lot of news about the EVs which are coming in. So the biggest news is Ford finally went into the final production phase on the Lightning. The F-150 Lightning is going to hit the market before the end of this year. As a dealer, we've already placed first 22 orders for the customers who made a reservation last year with us.
Wow.
They're excited. The truck's going to hit the market soon. They have a lot of expectations from that vehicle. A couple of days ago, Ford finalized the EPA ratings on the truck. On a full charge with a dual battery, you can hit up to 320 miles on a on a fully 100% charged battery.
Nice. Which that's over 500 kilometers.
That's just about 515 kilometers. Keeping in mind the weather conditions and the conditions in which you're driving on the road.
Sure.
And again, if it's summer or if it's winter, depending on that. But for a truck like that, It's definitely good.
That is significant. That's meaningful. It's equivalent to a real truck's range.
Yes, but again, it depends if you're towing with the truck, what kind of payload you're carrying. But still, it's good. If you're in the city, that's a good mileage. You can save a lot of money on the gas. The way gas is going
especially
up right now.
Especially now, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of toys, as we call it in the layman's industry, which is just me today, what's the attraction to the Lightning?
It's the savings. You don't have any service expenses, like not major. Of course,
right.
You have to do the tires. You have to check the brakes regularly. It's there's no combustion, so there's no oil change. There's no wear and tear of the engine parts.
There's no radiator on it.
Yes.
There's several things that are omitted simply because it's electric. And that's certainly what makes it appealing. Secondly, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but the brakes wear less on EVs because of the regenerative braking.
Yes.
So when
Slow down. Regenerative braking.
Yes. So when
explain to me, please.
Yes. So for example, if instead of coasting or braking in a regular car, what you do is you take your foot off the accelerator in an EV, and regenerative braking will actually take over. So the vehicle will charge itself.
So basically, when the vehicle is slowing down, yeah. It charges the battery. It conserves the battery to give you a longer range.
So depending on your what I'm hearing here, and correct me if I'm wrong, which is he's smiling. I'm going to smack you. So depending on how you drive. Will indicate really how much longer your battery is going to stay charged.
Yes.
Yeah, you kind of have to reprogram your brain a little bit, I think, to drive an EV, and that's what I always do. But it's a different experience because if you can optimize your driving, you being the driver of the EV, you can become very very efficient.
Yes.
At conserving your energy, it's absolutely and that's what I love about it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love internal combustion engines, but these EVs are really cool to drive.
What are you seeing from the public that's walking in with the various cars, the F-150 especially, which is the biggest one you've got? What are people talking about when they're coming in?
The feedback on these new vehicles in 2022, that's amazing. People are loving the new features which Ford is bringing to them. But again, as we all know, there's a shortage of supply everywhere across the board on all the brands.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. And again, coming back to the EV thing, Mach-E has been on the road for a couple of months. All the customers who have driven Mach-E, they're really happy. With the savings, the way vehicle performs, it's an all-wheel drive. It's good for Canadian roads. It's amazing. The build quality, it's amazing.
And that's exactly why I suggest people look at the Mach-E instead of some other brands. Because it's Ford is a real car company and they make real cars.
Yeah.
And not only does it satisfy all of the electric requirements, but it's very modern in terms of tech, drives really well. And it's kind of cool looking.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. And it carries the Mustang badge.
That's right. That's right.
And the history with the Mustang is second to none, I think. And I think the F-150 is almost becoming its own. It's almost like the Google of trucks.
Yes.
You know, the other vehicles are great. I see the Rams everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's the F-150 pulls up. My buddy's got one. And we drive up around his cottage. It's like, okay.
Well,
this is nice.
They're really nice, and you know, to be fair, from my perspective, I drive all of these things, and the F-150 is kind of the gold standard. It is the standard to which everything else is compared, and with the Lightning being a pure battery electric pickup, but it remaining an F-150 is really exciting to a lot of people. There's no mental switch that needs to go on. It's an F-150 that happens to be electric.
That happens to be electric.
You know, what I'm noticing as well, and you could probably speak to this a bit better than I can, is that the perception is no longer it's the guy driving the truck. There are a lot of women driving the F-150s.
We have a lot of women buyers, yes. They come into store and they want trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they feel the truck is safe with the kids.
Yeah.
It's a safe vehicle out there in the roads, no matter what the weather conditions are. It's amazing. And again, the drive is so good on them, it's very comfortable.
And it's also, this is not to mean sound sexist at all, but it's probably going to come across like that. But I mean, stay with us, Brian. It's the colors that Ford's come out with.
Oh, amazing colors.
You know, it used to be like white, black, and gray. That's it. Now, that's what's the blue called?
The Area 51. That's kind of a light blue. And then if you look at the Broncos, the color chart on them is amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like from Cyber Orange to Area 51, Cactus Gray. They have fancy names.
I don't know if I'd want to drive a car that has Area 51 as my color.
It's very popular. I mean, you know,
with my viewers,
they're like, I love this color. Personally, I don't like. I like black, but that's just me. But customers love this based on the feedback that I'm getting.
And in 2022, based on feedback from people, Ford is releasing a new color, a green shade in Bronco. So you'll see Bronco coming in a military kind of a green color.
That'll be cool.
Nice.
That's perfect for Bronco.
Yeah.
So, Sumit, are customers coming back and visiting you in person in the dealer going
yes.
for test drives?
Yes, everybody's happy. Customers are coming in for test drives. So we don't have that mandate for the mask. If you wish, you can still wear it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are walking in for test drives. You're going back to normal routine. We got used to selling cars over the phone. Because an F-150 customer, he's driven the F-150, he doesn't need to test drive anymore. They've bought whatever is available on the lot over the phone if it's an old customer. But now people and families, they're slowly coming back. The life is going back to normal. They want to drive the new generation. They want to drive the EV. They want to see the vehicles in the showroom and then make a decision with the family.
And of course, you know, your dealership, Young Steels Ford Lincoln, has the largest selection anywhere really in the country. And it must be a feel-good feeling. Terrible English, but it's a car show, to see people come back.
Yeah.
So you can get that connection eye to eye because, you know, you can only do so much on social media. You need, especially when it's an investment like this.
Yeah. And then the touch and feel aspect of the automotive industry, that's amazing. Every year, these vehicles go into a lot of changes and people want to touch the cars. They want to feel the cars. If it's the slightest bit of change in the interior or exterior, they want to see how the vehicle feels, how it drives. So now Ford has a new suspension, which is the adaptive suspension on so many vehicles. My customers have told me at the store and so many other people, the F-150 2019 or 2020, it had a totally different suspension, and the new generation, it drives so smooth. Some of them are even comparing it with the German brands.
Really?
The F-150 suspension is really, really amazing on the new one.
So what is adaptive suspension?
So
Brian's going to laugh at me.
No,
like
it's...
I'm just asking.
No, it's a great question.
Thanks, Dad.
No, the reason I smile is because I have to understand this from an engineering standpoint.
Well, I don't, and most of our listeners probably don't.
No, but I have to explain it. But Sumit, go ahead.
See, the adaptive suspension, how it works, it basically gives you, you know, the less feeling of the bumps which you cross over the road. So whenever you used to go over the potholes in a truck feels very stiff.
Right.
But now the trucks are not that stiff anymore. You go over the bumps and you feel a lot less when you're sitting inside the cabin. So the truck adapts to the roads on which you're driving. That's how you feel your ride is becoming more comfortable and quiet.
Yeah, it's all in the shocks. And what the shocks do is they adjust for the type of road surface that you're on. So if you're on a smooth road, they firm up and you've got great control. And then if you're driving on Toronto roads with our lousy road surfaces, the shocks soften up and you've got a nice, soft, luxurious ride.
Now, does this reduce, with everything that's going into these new vehicles now, does it reduce the amount of maintenance that you're going to need?
It depends on your driving style again.
Yeah, don't look at Brian like that. Because if it's this car, it'll be in every 3 months.
That's right.
But it's really interesting what's going on with Ford. And if a person comes in, say, over the weekend, realistically, we know every brand is going through hell right now.
Yep.
But if they came in and looked at whatever vehicle, Ford F-150 or the Mustang, what kind of realistic time frame are they looking at, and are they reserving cars?
Yes. So being the biggest dealer in the country with the Ford brand, what we have is we have the inside information from Ford, how they're planning this, you know, the vehicle manufacturing during the tough times.
Right.
So Ford has made a decision to build the vehicles, partially build them, allocate VIN numbers, keep them on the lot. Now, they'll ship the vehicles once the chips, they go in and the vehicle is complete. But what customers can do, they can come down to the store. We'll give them what is coming in, all the information on the colors and the build and the features. They can secure a vehicle in advance. They don't have to wait for 8-9 months. They can get the vehicle as soon as the chip thing is done, and the vehicle will be shipped to us in 2 months. So if you're looking for a blue color truck, and I have a blue color truck coming in 2 months after the chip thing is sorted, the truck is yours. So walk into the dealership. We'll give you whatever is coming in, and you can just put your name on it.
Beautiful. I mean, it's seamless. It's getting better. And, I mean, I like the Mach 1, the Mach-E.
The Mach-E is really cool. You know, one of my favorites that I've driven in the last year is the new Ford Maverick. Love that little pickup truck.
We'll get into that later on before the hour is out. Coming up next, speaking of that kind of suspension and bumps in the road and holes in the road, The roads are worse than they've ever been. And CAA have another campaign kicking off called the Worst Roads in Ontario. And we're going to talk to Teresa DeFelici from CAA right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. See how that just worked in there? We sometimes know what we're doing here. Welcome to Dave's Corner Garage, along with Brian Max. It's Steve Scheinman here and Sumit Kapoor from Young Steel's Ford Lincoln. For those who are inquiring, Alan is on the bench today. He threw his back out, so hopefully with some Voltaren and some strong Advils and maybe a rum and coke, he'll be back with us next Saturday. As hitting a bump in the road health-wise, we're hitting bumps in the road on the roads. And it's got to be the worst I've ever seen it. So, once again, we welcome back to the show Teresa DeFelici from CAA to talk about the Worst Roads in Ontario campaign that kicked off this week. So, how is it going so far, Teresa?
Oh, it's going great. It's people are noticing the same thing you are. They're actively taking to the website and voting on roads that they're frustrated with, taking pictures, uploading those. So, yeah, it's a busy one.
Are you seeing any particular increase in certain parts of Ontario? I know it's early into it, but what are you seeing coming in so far when people are voting?
Well, it is early. It's only a few days in, and the campaign goes until April 19th. You know, we're seeing some old favorites, especially in Toronto, Eglinton Avenue West and Eglinton Avenue East. And that's where the Crosstown LRT project has been going on for a few years. So that one's still sort of bubbling to the surface. Lakeshore is putting up a good fight, though. So
yeah.
I guess there's quite a bit of stuff happening on the Lakeshore. And in other parts of the province, last year's worst road was in Prince Edward County.
That's right, yeah.
And we see that they're taking to the website again to launch their roads.
It's almost like a horse race. I know I live down by Lakeshore and the Hyde Park area, and there are some ramps going onto the Gardner that have it's like a river of vacant potholes.
That's awful. I don't get to drive near you, Steve, but yeah, I live midtown Toronto, and I have to use Eglinton almost every day. And I love how Eglinton is so bad it was named twice on your list, Teresa.
East and west, yes. There's a lot of love for Eglinton Avenue, and you know they've done some patching. There's a couple of spots where I guess even for the construction vehicles, maybe they've had to make some repairs. But, you know, that one will probably stay on the list for a couple of years until that project's completed. And and sort of the wear and tear that road's taking because of all the construction, you know, won't become smooth again until that project's done.
So, Teresa, from my perspective, I've been teaching race driving for a couple of decades, and one of the things we teach is, and especially it transfers to the road as driving on the road as well, and that's to keep your eyes up and look as far down the road as possible. But what happens here, especially at this time of year when potholes develop, we're all looking in front of our vehicles, immediately in front of our vehicles, and we're not looking further down the road. Does driver behavior change?
Yes, it does. And, you know, and we say the same thing. The best thing to do is to, you know, to be alert. Don't drive distracted or, you know, be doing something else. Really focus on the road. But we actually did a survey in January of this year. And, you know, 65% of respondents said they're slowing down for bad spots. So that, you know, it's good that they're kind of recognizing something is up ahead. 64% are swerving to avoid potholes. So we even asked the question, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody up ahead kind of swerving. And you're like, what is going on there? But most people believe that the reason they're swerving is because they're avoiding something on the road. The next biggest thing was people thought that they were driving distracted. But definitely people are altering their behavior, sometimes even taking a different route to avoid a road that they know is in really bad condition.
So at the end of the day, when these campaigns are over for the Worst Roads of Ontario, by the way, the website is caaworstroads.com. So get on there and vote at some point over the next while. When the results come back in, what does CAA able to do to taking it forward to the next step? So the improvement in fixing potholes is there. Where do you take this?
Yeah, and I'll say this, right? This campaign's been around for 18 years now, and it's because it gets results. And part of it is not just the fact that we put this out and people are taking to it. The reason why we do this is, you know, 72% of people are frustrated and talking about poor roads, but they're not letting their local governments know. Very few are actually complaining, unless they do like a pothole call to say, hey, there's a really big pothole and my car got damaged. And so, you know, we take good due diligence when the voting closes on April 19th. We take that list. We actually work with the Ontario Road Builders Association. So these are the companies across Ontario. This association is all the companies who actually work to fix the roads, but they have civil engineers on staff, and they do an analysis of the roads that have, you know, come to the surface in terms of the top 10 in Ontario, but as well as the top 5 in various regions across Ontario that we put out when we announce, the winners. But they give us a technical analysis to say, okay, here's what we're seeing. You know, it's poor road surface. Yes, so there's a congestion issue because A, B, and C. And here's what, you know, what would probably require to fix it. And so we take that to government. We talk to local governments. We're also talking to senior levels of government about infrastructure funding. So CAA's advocacy kicks in on behalf of everybody who took to the website and to let their voice be heard.
I think that is fantastic. I mean, I like to joke that the city of Toronto hates cars, and I've been living in the city for a couple of decades. And I know my counselor is okay at responding, but I know the mayor does not like responding on car related issues. And I'm glad you're advocating for us in the city of Toronto.
I think it's really important that it's not just for CAA members; it's for everybody. And it's sooner or later, it's got to give. I mean, the 407, which is paved differently, there's nothing there. Because it's all concrete.
It's a wonderful driving surface, that's for sure.
So do it here. It costs money.
That's right.
So the more that people can get on this thing and vote and then move it forward as CAA is trying to do with government officials, it will get better. As opposed to seeing three guys who are working hard saying, okay, let's go get a Timmy's and we'll put some asphalt in there and bang it down on the ground with a $3 shovel from Canadian Tire. It will not get fixed up at all anytime soon. So once again, the website is caaworstroads.com, and the campaign continues until April 19th. And in a couple weeks' time, Teresa will have you down here in studio.
Yes, I will be coming, and we'll talk about what we're seeing, as we near the end of the campaign, and anything else that we're hearing from the people who take to register their vote.
Great. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
Okay, take care. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're back with news about the contest. See, I'm not teasing for a reason. And Sumit Kapoor with some more news from Ford. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And speaking, we're sometimes smooth and organized here.
We really are.
No, we're not. starting April 1st, we have a new contest on to take you through the spring, if it ever gets here. It's a combination of a full set of tires from Triangle Tire, installed professionally by My Back Is Going to Get Better, Glenn Allen Motors, with Alan there and Glenn together along with Mandy. They're going to install the tires for you, and then a full Crown application, courtesy of Trevor Hutchison and our good buddies up at Crown. So that starts April 1st. So go to DavesCornerGarage.com and put in your name and maybe you'll win. That's a nice cordial way of saying you get in, because it's a great package.
Yeah, it is an excellent package, especially for this time of year. I mean, you might need new tires for the summer. I mean, it's perfect.
I'll let you know when I'm driving home. All right, let's go back to what's happening with Ford.
So coming back to what's happening with Ford, I know every single dealership and the auto brand is going through shortage, but I just want to bring this info to the table and all the listeners that at our store, and we have a lot of vehicles which are already serialized. They're incoming, they're partially built, and they're parked on Ford factory lots, which will be shipped out to us soon, depending on how the chip situation goes. But if you are looking for a Ford down the road, you don't have to place a new factory order. You can come down to the store, we can secure a VIN number which is already built, and you have to wait for 2-3 months and not 5-6 months and 7 months. So walk into the store, just let us know what your requirements are. We'll find you the closest possible match to that, even if you have to give up a few features or buy a few additional features depending on what's available.
Right.
It's good for you to secure a vehicle in advance. Don't wait for the lease to end. Just plan your move a few months ahead. I know we are going through really tough times, but that's the thing to do right now. Just understand the market and make a move a little ahead so that you don't have to wait right at the end to make a decision.
Yeah, it's no longer the days when we can walk into the dealer and buy something off the lot. And certainly, you know, placing a custom order takes a little bit longer than a couple of months now. And you got to wait for a good portion of the year now to get something custom.
So pre-COVID, we used to carry about 250 to 300, 400 vehicles on the lot at any given day. Mm-hmm. Now we are really short on that inventory. I'm down to 10, 15 units. I mean, the units land every day, but as soon as they land, they're gone. Customers pick them up.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Now, I will. I understand the car business, but I like full featured vehicles. I like them when they've got all the options and all the technology and all the luxuries.
He's so greedy.
I love that they drive better. They're better
sure
to
they
live
do.
With.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. And there's a lot of cool tech and especially Ford is advancing the game with technology as well.
Yep. So in 2022s, all the high-end F-150s vehicles like Lincoln Aviators, Navigators, which are coming in, they have something called Blue Cruise. So Blue Cruise is like an autonomous driving, not fully autonomous, but yes, you can take your hands off the wheel. The vehicle will be driven kind of semi-automatically on the highways, which are mapped by Ford company. And then it's almost driving like a Tesla.
I would argue it's more reliable than a Tesla. I like the Blue Cruise.
You just couldn't resist it.
I've driven the Tesla with all that nonsense, and I prefer the technology that Ford puts out, because what they do is you can take your hands off the wheel, but you have to be paying attention. You can't take your hands off the wheel and read a book.
Yeah, because the camera is constantly watching you.
There's a driver monitor. Whoa. Which is something that California electric car company does not do. Yeah. And this is the safest thing, is to have driver monitoring. So Ford does this. But what's really cool is that you can take your hands off the wheel on a lot of around here on the 400 series highways, and the vehicle will drive itself.
Yep, as long as you're watching the road.
As soon as you take your eyes off the road, the system will warn you, and then it will turn off.
That's because of the camera.
Because of the driver monitoring
system. Really?
Yep.
So I drove a similar technology in another brand. As I discovered, the driver monitoring camera could not see through my polarized sunglasses.
So what'd you have to do? Go buy new glasses or what?
No, I just took my sunglasses off. But
black underneath the...
No. But I want to try the Blue Cruise, because I've heard it's excellent technology. Yeah. It is cutting edge for where we are right now.
And it's a very small over-the-air update. So all the vehicles which we're selling today,
great idea.
By the end of this year or mid-2023, it'll be just like a small software update, and your car will start with the Blue Cruise.
You know, while we're talking with Sumit, you can go to youngsteelsfordlincoln.com and see everything that's on. It's a really well-done, busy website that has everything on there. And you can go back to Blue Cruise for a second. For people who are going to get ready the RV show just finished up. People are going to start going back to the cottage. You're pulling a trailer, or you're just packing the car up and up you go to the cottage. And it's a little more convenient. It's safer, I would think.
Yep.
And it's more relaxing until you get a... Yeah, it's more relaxing.
I think this autonomous driving technology, this advanced driver assist technology, I don't want to call it autonomous, but advanced driver assist, it makes for a more relaxing driving experience. So you're more well rested at the end of a drive, and that to me is an important thing as a driver. It's very, very important to be well rested.
And in the beginning of the show, we covered a segment where we spoke about the accidents, the road accidents which are happening. The percentage has gone up. And these new generation vehicles, they're coming up with things like accident alerts, pedestrian alerts, collision warning alerts. So the cars are capable of applying the brakes even if the driver is distracted. So I hope in future these kind of features, they'll bring down those... The percentage of accidents happening on the roads.
Well, I think that's happening already. We're seeing some of that movement from insurance companies, and a lot of this technology is being mandated across the board. What I find about some of this technology is it will actually see things that the driver can't from time to time.
Yep.
And that is so important.
Yep.
I think it's also going to probably break down the barrier of people who still are don't trust the autonomous part of the vehicle. You know, old school, I want to hang on to that wheel and nobody's telling me differently. But as you, and I've driven these a few times, and you do get this ease that comes in that's like, hey, this is okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I cover when I write about cars or on my YouTube channel, is that this advanced driver assist technology is becoming more and more ubiquitous across all the cars you can buy today. You have to kind of get used to it. But, if you're coming from a car that has traditional cruise control into something that has adaptive cruise control and lane keep, and it can actually sort of steer itself in the lane and follow other vehicles, it's a bit unnerving. But, part of my job is to make sure that people understand that it's cool and reliable technology.
It'd be great to have something in this autonomous part of it, where if somebody's right on your rear end, you can flash a light going, get the off my, because it's driving me nuts. I'm a stressed guy in Toronto. Listen, we want to thank Sumit Kapoor from Young Steels Ford Lincoln. You'll be there today working?
Yes, sir. I will be.
Okay. And Brian Max, a couple handles that you've got.
Just Brian Max everywhere. MAKSE.
Great. And don't forget, starting beginning of next week, you can go to dayscornergarage.com and register to win a full set of Triangle tires and a full application from Crown. Stay with us. We'll be right back next week with another show, and hopefully Alan Gelman's backbone is ready to join us. See you next week, everybody.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.